turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And I just have a short time with you this morning. And I want to, again, just start in this scripture that has been stirring in my spirit so many weeks now. And I have spoken about this on New Year's Eve. Next week, I am speaking in Durban. Pastor Samuel will be here. And then I think I'll do one more message on this subject. But I believe it's important. And I want to speak to you this morning about living your life ready and expectant for heaven with eternity in mind. And I really want to stir your heart today. I want to shake your mind to live your life ready for Jesus. You know, I remember growing up, people would say this to me. Some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. In other words, what they're saying is don't live with your head up in the skies. But, you know, I think that brought some damage to some people in a negative way. I want to say to you, without being heavenly minded, you can be no earthly good. What we need right now is the heaven's mind for the earth. We need God's thoughts for the earth. I need God's heart for people. And as the church, we've become so earthly minded. I think we are no earthly good. Because darkness cannot chase darkness. Light will chase darkness. And so this is my message for January. We're going to live. We're going to be a fiery people. We're going to be an anointed people. We're going to be a radical people. We're going to be a Jesus-centered people. And so I'm starting in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 8. And it says this: by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. And what that means is, as God was speaking to him, he began to obey. He didn't wait. As God was speaking, he obeyed. And I want to liken this passage today to your salvation, to when Jesus called you, when you were saved, the day that you were saved, the day that you heard the voice of God, and you said, I'm going to obey, I'm going to receive Jesus. It's just like Abraham. Abraham was living in a city called Ur. He was a pagan man. He lived in one of the most wealthiest places. It was modern. He was 75 years old. He was rich. He was established. He had a house. He had everything he needed. And God called him at the age of 75. And God was saying to him, I want you to come out of your country. And when he heard the voice of God, he began to obey. Just like you. When you heard God calling you and telling you that there's eternity waiting for you. And that Jesus paid the price for our sins. And you came out, so to speak, out of Ur. You came out of that place. You were just like Abraham. I was just like Abraham and obeyed God. So it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. In the same way, you and I have an inheritance that is waiting for us. Heaven is waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for you. I have Jesus now, and I have Jesus then. I look forward to the day where I shall see him face to face and be in his glory. Amen. And that is an inheritance. An inheritance is something you receive that you did not work for. Jesus worked for you by dying on the cross. And he gave me an inheritance. Amen, somebody. So there's a day coming where I will receive a reward in heaven, something I have not worked for. I'm going to receive a city I did not build. Hallelujah. So that is the same thing. You and I are just like Abraham, and I'm going to receive an inheritance. And it says he went out not knowing where he was going. And I want to say this to you. I want to preach a message just on going out. That Abraham had to leave Ur. And we have to leave our past. And we leave this world. And I step into a new culture. I leave this, the desires of this world, and my desire changes for him. So the Bible says, don't set your mind on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above where Christ is. That problem that we have in churches is when people don't leave. They want to be in a new culture, but stay in Ur, so to speak. Stay in my past. God said, get out. And he got out and he left. And this is very powerful. Now, so he leaves now. And verse 9 says, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Just imagine this man. Just imagine you living in South Africa, you have your house, everything is paid for, you're 75 years old, you've retired. And now God says you must go and live in the Karoo and with a tent. Just think about that. And there in Midrand is your house. That's what happened to Abraham. And this is a picture of how God wants us to live in this earth. God has got no issue. I believe in prosperity. I believe in wealth. And I believe that these things, that there are anointed people that are called by God to prosper, to bless the kingdom. I have no issue with that. What I'm saying to you is that God is saying to us, don't live in a way where this world is more important to you than the world that is to come. It changes our mindset. It puts my priorities in a different place. So Abraham, when he heard the call of God, he left and he lived in Canaan. Did you know, listen to this, Canaan is the land of promise. God said, I'm giving Canaan as a land of promise. It was only 800 years later that the Israelites went into Canaan. I mean, it would be different if it was like 5 years from now. So I'm going to go and live there and get my tent and get my animals ready, put my steak out. 800 years later, by faith, he said, I have seen a different city. And God is saying to us, Acts Church, Centurion, Westie, God is saying he wants us to live in this world with a mindset that I'm just passing through. The Bible called him a pilgrim. You know, in this world, in the natural, to be a pilgrim is a bad thing. If you are a pilgrim, you have no city, you have no passport, you have no identity on the earth, you have no rights. You can't claim benefits as a pilgrim. But he said, I'm going to live in this world as a pilgrim with an understanding that what is in this world is nothing compared to what is coming in the next world. He said, I understand. I have seen something so glorious that everything in this world is just, he says, I love the way the Apostle Paul says, he says, I count everything as dung that I might gain Christ. Abraham saw something. And if you are truly born again, your eyes have seen eternity. And God is saying, live with this in mind, with eternity in mind. It's amazing. And it goes on and says this, verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now verse 13 says this. These all died in faith. Abraham, Sarah, and he's talking about Abel and Noah. They died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. All right? They saw them. Were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Just turn to your neighbor, look at them in the eyes, and just tell them, this is not my home. Just turn to the person on the other side, just tell them. She says, I want to tell you something. Just tell them, I want to tell you something. the streets of my new house are made of gold. Hey, I'm assured of it. I'm embracing it. I have seen it. There's something better that is there. Amen, somebody? So, they were strangers. Verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Just like you and me. They are Christians. And I want to just say something to you today. As a Christian, you may face trials. These scriptures are written in the New Testament mostly to a church under persecution and in poverty. Such poverty, the Apostle Paul says, better not to marry. If you get married, you would have to take responsibility for your wife, and we're in such poverty, we cannot do that. But he taught them, get your mind on heaven. This is not your earth. This is not your home. Do you know, I read last night that in South Africa, the middle class, the percentage of people that cannot afford to buy food has risen. And I want to say to everybody in this room, in this next 2 to 5 years, as South Africa goes through a process, don't be worried about what other people have that you don't have. Let your joy be in this truth, that you are a son of God and you have an eternity in heaven. Let your treasure be in heaven and rejoice in the fact that there's a day coming that you shall be with Jesus Christ. But because of these things, covetousness, and I tell you, wicked men of God, they play on this thing where people are so desperate to get stuff, they will do stupid things. Get out of debt. If you have to drive that same car for another 5 years, just do it. For the sake of, because someone else got, your brother got a new car. Now you're going to show that you're also the big man and you're going to go and get in debt. You can't even buy nappies at the end of the month. Your wife is going to say, get in that fancy car of yours and go and buy the nappies. South Africans, listen to me. Our God will supply all our needs. Amen. I believe God will sustain us. Just like God sent $50,000 from a man that we don't even know. God is going to sustain us and keep us and provide. I tell you, I was in England. I was full of unbelief. I looked at this place. I said, this is not my, what is this? There's holes in the floor here. We didn't have the money to send there. God provided. I want to tell you, God will keep you. But listen to me. If you keep on looking, I don't have that, I don't have that, I don't have that. What God is saying, live in this world with this mindset. I am rich in Christ. I am rich in Christ. Hallelujah. Build your treasures in heaven. Win the lost. Commit to serving God. The Bible says, I'll teach on this in 2 weeks' time. Live a life, a sober life. Let your mind be clear. Live a righteous life. These are the things that are important. And I believe this is the message for the decade, that it is time for the church to purify itself so that Jesus will come for a pure, spotless bride. Hallelujah. That is the condition he gave, pure and spotless. And so we seek a homeland. Verse 15 says, truly. So we could have gone back. There might be suffering. You say, oh, you know, when I was serving my idols, I didn't have these problems. When I was sacrificing chickens, I didn't have these problems. It's easy to go back. Just like in Egypt. They left Egypt. Israel leaves Egypt. And while they are now in the wilderness, they say, oh, we should have gone back to Egypt. When you have seen eternity, nothing in this world can draw you back. Hallelujah. Now he says this, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I've come to tell you, God is preparing a place for you. There is an eternity. There is a heaven that we need to prepare for. Some people say, oh, in the sweet by and by. No, the Bible says you don't know what will happen tomorrow. Nobody can say tomorrow, I'm going to go this, I'm going to go to that city, I'm going to buy this. God says you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Maybe God will require your soul of you tonight. And God is saying to us as a church, live with eternity in mind. Amen. So now let me show you this now. Let's go to Hebrews 11:23. And I'm talking about Moses. It says this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Every mother believes their child is the most beautiful. What made this child so different? Well, I don't really know, except I know this. Just as John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, so that this boy, somehow they knew he was a prophet. They knew he had destiny on the inside of him. That this was a deliverer. That he would deliver them from this torturous pain they were experiencing in Egypt. And they decided not to hand him over. Because all the Jewish Hebrew children, all the Hebrew children were supposed to be murdered. All the boys. Because Pharaoh was worried that the people were growing so big. The nation of the Hebrews were getting so large. So they hid him. And after 3 months, they couldn't hide him anymore. Do you know what they did? They put him in a basket by faith. And it was by faith, because I don't know what river it was. The only river I know in Egypt is the Nile River, where the crocodiles come from. By faith, they put him on the river and he floated down. And there he was found by the daughter of Pharaoh. Bible says she had compassion on the child. I believe God put compassion in the heart of that woman. Said, I will raise this child as my own. But his sister was following him, and she appeared out of the reeds and says, "Ooh, I see you have a Hebrew child. Can we look after him for you?" She said, "Yes, find me someone to look after the child." Do you know who she went and found? She found his mother. I tell you, God has mysterious ways. He shall break through for us in mysterious ways. What faith this mother must have had. So he was raised with his mom and then raised in the wisdom of Egypt, trained as an Egyptian. He was trained as Pharaoh's own son. He was wise and intelligent. He had power. He had money. He had authority. But look what the Bible says. It says this in the next verse. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine? This is a young man that has the world at his feet. It's like Bill Gates wanting to adopt you, and then you saying, I don't want to be adopted by Bill Gates. The friends must have said to him, you're an idiot. You have all power. You have all wisdom. You have authority. At your word, things happen. In the most powerful nation of its time. Every time you see in the Bible there was famine, where did they go? They went down to Egypt. Egypt speaks of a worldly system. It speaks of wealth, of this life. He says, he refused. He said, I will not be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This is not my world. This is not my world. I want you to live this life in this next season that God has us in as a nation, as the world. We're going to say, I don't have to adapt to this world. I don't have to go down the stream just going with whatever the world is throwing at us. I am going to go against the stream. And it might be a little bit difficult, and there might be persecution, as there has always been from the beginning. If you're going to be a child of God, there will be persecution from this world. They will despise you and hate you. Why? Your speech is different. Your thinking is different. Your desires are different. Your hopes are different. And I go against the stream. So Moses said, this is not my world. And verse 25, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. And this is a message on its own. In other words, what is the world? It's the attractions of sin. Now, verse 26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Somebody say reward. What is the reward? The reward actually is not just heaven. The reward actually is Christ himself. That when you experience Jesus, there is such a satisfaction that nothing on earth can satisfy. When you walk in his glory, and in heaven there's no light, he is the light. His glory shall radiate in that place. When you experience the waves of his presence, that you will be so satisfied. It would be as if you are satisfied with such fat and goodness from the presence of the Lord. Do you remember how they walked with Jesus and their eyes were blind after he was raised? And they walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, eh? What is the road? He's walking on this road. They're talking. He's talking to the disciple, two disciples. And at the end, their eyes opened and they knew it was the Lord. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? That when you have, the moment you experience that glory, when you get to heaven and God says, do you want to go back? You're going to say, that I'm talking about a heaven. I'm talking about a glory. I'm talking about a place that is so glorious that the same Jesus that was on the earth when John on the Isle of Patmos saw Jesus, he said his eyes are like flames of fire. From his mouth comes a two-edged sword. His hair was as white as snow. His feet like bronze. I'm talking about a place no eye has seen, no ear has heard. So precious, so powerful. An inheritance in God. The Bible calls it glory. Glorious. He chose that. He said that the treasure, this reward, this treasure in Christ is so rich. He said, what is offered here is nothing to me. What Pharaoh can give me is nothing compared to what I have seen that is coming in the age to come. I've come to say to your church, let us refocus. Let us live for that. I receive an inheritance. Amen. Now, it's hard to explain. God is saying this, that we must live as if I am there. In other words, when you get to heaven, don't let it be such a shock. Like you get to heaven and they call it, you know, they call it in missions, and when you're a missionary, they call it culture shock. There's another word I'm thinking of. When you're in a missions and you go into a place where you don't know the language, you don't know the people, you don't know the greetings, and this entry. And you like, whoa, what is this? Don't let heaven be like that for you. When you get to heaven, you're like, whoa, what is this? When you get to heaven, you say, I know that. Because the Bible says, be holy as he is holy. When you get there, you say, I know this glory. I know this Jesus. I know this language. These are my people. These are my people. Amen. So that's how God wants us to live. All right. Let me show you what happens when we don't live this way. So let's go to the book of 1 John. 1 John. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Wow, what a love the Father in heaven has given us. That this Father would pardon. That this God the Bible says we were not a people. I was not a people. I've been grafted in. I was adopted. Amen. I'm so glad I've been adopted. Amen. The Jews couldn't even understand how God would love the Gentiles. What love. What love has been bestowed on the earth. God will say, you cursed, you were cursed, but I have called you blessed. And I have inherited you. And I have seated you in heavenly places. And I will call you to be by my side. Behold, what love the Father has bestowed on us. Who and why? How did this happen? How did this happen? That we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. Listen, if they rejected Jesus, they're going to reject you. His language was not their language. His walk was not their walk. Because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Wow. He says, listen, what is this? We're going to receive something that we don't even know what it looks like. He says, all I can tell you is that when we see him, we shall be like him. What is he saying? There's a glory coming. It is so glorious. In a twinkling. We shall be changed. Immortality will put on. Mortality will put on immortality. In a twinkling, in a flash of an eye, when that trumpet sounds, I'm entering into eternity with the Lord. We don't know what we'll be like. What he was saying is, it's so glorious, I cannot even explain it to you. There's so much I cannot comprehend with my natural mind what this will be like. But what I do know that when I see him, I will be like him. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself. Purifies himself. If you have this hope, I separate myself. If I have this hope, I'm coming out of the world. That's why I get angry with men of God that are more interested in their own personal riches than in your eternal state. Because it corrupts the minds of the church and destroys people's hearts. They don't love Jesus. It's terrible to be loved for what you have rather than for who you are. And so they purify themselves. This is the message that must be preached. I believe the message of the end times will be a message of purity. Purity. Whether you're rich or poor, be pure. Be pure. Live for the Lord. Separate yourself. Come out of Ur. Live in this world as strangers. Preparing yourself for a greater place. You know, and I found this scripture, and in light of this message, you know, when you, you know, revelation opens revelation. And I love this verse, Luke 12:45, and it's in the New Living Translation, Luke 12:45, New Living Translation. But if the servant thinks, if Christians think, don't think like this, that my master won't be back for a while. He's saying, heaven in the sweet by and by, Jesus is delaying his coming. If Jesus was, how can things be so bad? Jesus would have come by now. In fact, the Bible says in the end times, people are going to say he's not coming. And you know what happens when you live with that mindset? It says this, my master won't be back for a while. And he begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk. In other words, that when we lose sight of eternity, we cast off restraint. When I lose sight of Jesus as my reward, I live a sinful life. But when I have eternity in mind, I purify myself, even as he is pure. Amen. I have just a few minutes left. Let's just read one more scripture in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And we can just read it from chapter 1. And I'll read it quickly with you from verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, of the times, when I believe this is after these times we know, in eternity, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on the earth, in him. That if you are in Christ, if you are born again, you're a believer and you're living for Jesus, you are Christ's son and daughter, that there's going to be a gathering together with him. We will be with him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Well, you can play for me. In him we have also obtained an inheritance. You've obtained an inheritance. Hallelujah. Let me put it in the earthly context. If your grandmother died in England and she left you £10 million. Let me rather say it this way. Let's say she told you, when I die, you will receive £10 million. Can I say it again? Your grandmother writes to you. She says, when I die, I will leave you £10 million. What will be your prayer? God, now you got it. My prayer will be, Jesus, surely she has done her work. Receive her to your glory, Lord. And he says, you've obtained an inheritance. It is so powerful. The Apostle Paul says, to leave is better. That's why we don't mourn as others mourn. The Bible says when we in Christ die, we don't mourn as this world mourns. We mourn, but I don't mourn as this world mourns. When the world loses somebody, they see it as an end. When we lose somebody, I feel sorry that I will miss them. But I have an understanding that they're in a far better place. And there's coming a day where I shall see them face to face. I don't mourn as this world mourns. There's an inheritance I've received in Jesus Christ. That's why I should be praying, Lord Jesus, hasten your coming. But he doesn't come because he says, I have compassion. I want people one for the Lord. This next season will be a season of great harvest. Amen. Great harvest. I've obtained an inheritance. Woo! More than £10 million can ever buy. Not even the queen has gold in front of her palace. I went there, I saw it's just bricks. And... being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. You know, when I studied that, you know what it means? It means that I walk in glory here and I walk in glory there. There's a glory here. There's a greater glory there. I should be to the praise of His glory here in His goodness upon my life. You see, where we don't understand something. When the Bible says, be sober-minded, clear thinking. Even when Jesus was dying on the cross, He says these words, into your hands I commit my spirit. Clear. Godly. Word-based. Even in the midst of suffering, I understand purpose, destiny. In Him you trusted, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. I have no other way to explain it except to you. Let's say I wanted to buy this speaker that's right here. I want to buy this. I can put a deposit on it. If you go to the store and you say to them, I'm going to buy this washing machine, you can put a deposit. Do you know what they do? They go onto the computer and they will take that serial number and they will say, sold. It's purchased. There's a deposit. What does that mean? That it means that I am coming back to claim what is mine. Now, the Lord Jesus has sealed you with a deposit of the Holy Spirit. What He's saying is, I have purchased you and I'm coming for you. And I'm going to buy you. I'm going to fulfill this possession. I will take you with me. And what it means is this, that when I have put a deposit on something, nobody else can claim it. Somebody can come in. The devil can come in and say, listen, what I see this is here. I want to take this. And the owner will have to say, I'm so sorry, it has been sold. But why is it here? There's a deposit paid on this thing. You are not the devil's. You are the Lord Jesus. You belong to Him. You've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot have you. This world cannot have you. You are destined for heaven. That is eternity. So when you wake up tomorrow and you're dissatisfied with your bed and you have to hold the plug in to make your kettle boil and you have to do something special in your car engine to make it start, I want you to remember something. There's an inheritance for you. Don't sell your life for that. Don't sell your soul for that. Understand kingdom principles. We'll teach that in the year. Understand the power of giving. Understand sowing. Understand the Bible says, he who does not work shall not eat. We understand these principles. What I'm saying to you, don't live your life in sorrow and brokenness here because of what you don't have. Look at what you have in eternity. Amen. Focus there. Focus there. Focus there.